It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
It is a special edition of Brouhaha. We've been wanting to get this guy on since we started this show in the 60s, and finally, he's here, and I'm so excited to meet, actually, for the first time, as far as I know, although we can't be sure, but Mr. Tony McGee, the founder of Lagunitas Brewing Company. Tony, thank you so much for being with us, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the invitation to be here.
It's so cool. And Joe Tucker, of course, my co-host on Brouhaha from RateBeer.com is with us.
Great to be here.
The story is fascinating. We've talked about it with some of your guys on the air before. And it's well known. You wrote a book about it, which is still on my coffee table. I love the book, the whole story of Lagunitas. But you guys have become such a major, major brewery in the world, really. And it started with you in your house.
Yeah, pretty much. Right there in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. Please tell the story. This is so cool.
Well, God, it was... It was 1990, Christmas in 1992, and my little brother got me a home brewing kit for a Christmas present, and I brewed it in January, drank it in February. It was a California common beer, in other words, Anchor Steam sort of variety, and I drank it in February, and was immediately smitten. I had never even considered brewing, let alone a brewery before that.
Were you a big beer drinker before that?
You know, only at Marin Brewing Company. That was my singular kind of connection to beer. And out there in the world, I would pick up Red Tail ales, at liquor stores.
Still
and
love
enjoy
Red
them.
Tail.
Oh yeah,
Opland.
Yep. Yeah. They were essential to everything. You know, so I brewed that batch in February, and I said, that's it, I'm in. And by December, I had the brewery open.
And then you started making beer, though. It started with you handing out your beer to friends and family, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that first homebrew batch, and then that's like a week later, I went and got another batch from Great Fermentations there. It used to be there in San Rafael. Brewed it, but it wasn't even done fermenting before. I just wanted to try another batch, and so the next thing I know, I had five batches going, and then all of a sudden you're bottling, and you got more beer than you know what to do with in the house, and you start trying to give it away, and so I did, and after a little bit, people were liking it, and I was like, well, shit, I ought to be selling this. This is, and what I was doing for a living before that was a little less than satisfying, and so I wanted to get away from that.
So what is the step? How does that work? I mean, because people are thinking, you know, Lagunitas, they're huge, they're great, they're the whole Chicago thing, everyone loves Lagunitas and everything.
That's a nice thing to say.
Well, it's true. And but that step from home to Lagunitas, fill us in.
There's a few steps in between there,
yeah.
Too, right?
Well, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with that single step. And
right.
You know, you open up the back of an old, you know, TV set, you see more wires and tubes and crazy crap in there. You'd say to yourself, how did anyone ever figure all that out?
Right.
Why did they know they needed that weird little transistor-looking thing? And why did they? And the truth is, it went together one wire at a time, you know? There was the thing, it worked, it had a little problem, so they put in a little extra thing to fix that problem. That created two more problems, and so you fix those problems. And next thing you know, you have this incredible melange of wires and tubes and stuff.
I don't think making a TV quite works by trial and error like that.
But that's how the first one was made. First working out how to...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. They were trying to figure... They were solving their problems with it. And so the same thing is true for the brewery. We solved a lot of problems along the way. And over the time, sometimes you solved a problem and you found like a big silver lining to the solution that you didn't expect to find, and the business explodes a little bit more because of that.
Well, where was the first place you opened? It's not like you opened at what we now know as Lagunitas and the amphitheater and the whole thing. I mean, what was the next step?
Well, it was the kitchen, and then I burned up a stove, and I moved out to the deck, and then I thought, I'll get a license to do it here on the deck, and I'll sell these kegs, you know, one 5-gallon keg at a time, and I filled out all the paperwork for the ABC to get a license, and then talked to the county, and the county said, we're never going to let you have a commercial brewery in your house. Are you kidding me? And so I didn't want to redo all the paperwork, and they all said, all the paperwork said Lagunitas on it. And so I was like, okay, I'm keeping the name because I like the name. But and I ended up putting it in this little town next door of Forest Knolls. I found like the one commercial space that was available in the whole of the San Geronimo Valley and moved in there.
I forgot and about Forest Knolls. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. The Twin Cities of Lagunitas. Yes. And yeah, there's one sign. On one side it says Lagunitas. The other side it says Forest Knolls. Yeah. Somewhere in between it says thanks for visiting. Yeah. But then I put it in there. We were there for all of 8 months. And this is key. You know, actually, the owner of the building put in a bigger septic system for us. It's all septic. There's no sewer out there. And it wasn't going to work after they got it installed. And the county said, you have to move. And so I did move. But when at that point it was like, okay, what do we do now? Is this game on? I mean, this is no longer going to be just a cabinet shop making one piece of furniture at a time. You know,
you're right.
Now it's like got to be something else. And sort of that sort of kicked me over the edge. You know, that was a little nudge over the cliff. And get bigger space, need to sell more beer, means I got to hire another guy, means I got to sell more beer, means I got to hire more guys, which means you got to sell more beer, and you're off to the races, you know. I mean, I describe it in the book as, you know, being chased down the street by a pack of wild dogs. You don't slow down to look behind you, because if you stop, they catch you, you know. So.
And by the way, the book is available everywhere, and it's unbelievable. You must check it out. It's the whole story of Lagunitas, written by the founder, Tony McGee. Again, just give us the slow progress as to the popularity of the Lagunitas brand and how you wound up where you are now in Petaluma on McDowell with the amphitheater and all the music and everything that you guys do for the community.
Well, you know, all those things you mentioned that we do because they're things that we dig. They're things that inspire us. And I mean, that sounds kind of trite. Like, you know, like something out of a kind of a self-help book. But the truth is we continue to do stuff that's exciting for us because it keeps us excited. And we hope that we'll find out that there are people out there who, you know, kind of dig the same things that we do. And so, you know, it might be that we do free concerts and the idea is it's a little gift to the community. But the community's been hugely generous with us. Yeah. You know, I mean, early on in the brewery, when Petaluma, I know we made a lot of terrible beer. I mean, we struggled.
Really?
Well, you know,
he says that
no good beer ever left the brewery, but a lot of people drank it like 6 months later, you know, on the shelf in various parts. So, you know, I mean, so the people have been generous with us, and so you want to pay that back, you know. I mean, everything needs angels. Everything
you continue to do.
Yeah, that's right. So, but the growth of the brand and stuff, you know, we began bottling in 1995, which was kind of the beginning of the wobble for craft that lasted about 5 or 6 years into 2001 before really that all of the, there were too many breweries. There were too many breweries making really poor beer. There were too many breweries trying to grow too fast. There's too much easy money in the industry. And just like .com bubble, the same thing happened to craft.
Yeah.
And so that's what we were born into. And because we were born into it, we had to become very, very good students of what beer lovers really wanted to drink. Because what they had in front of them apparently wasn't what they wanted, and so we had to find new flavors, and we did.
Wow. And I must say, just 1 second, Joe, because I want to get your input on this. But Tony, you found some amazing people.
Oh, yeah.
To work around you, and that has got to be a major part of the success.
There's no two ways about it. I mean, yeah. You know, I'm kind of a lens for things at the brewery, but I mean, the feedback that comes through that lens is the inputs are they're from some really spectacular people. You know, from Jeremy the brewer, not brewmaster now, and Ron Lindenbush.
Lindenbush, I mean, he's been around with us many times.
Yeah, well, more people than not think he owns the brewery. And he says he doesn't own it; he just acts like he does. And I'm cool with that. But even like people like my bookkeeper, the original bookkeeper, she's vice president of finance now, and she was what helped me hold it together during the worst of times. You know? Yeah. So,
Joe.
Oh yeah. Well, you just mentioned like those flavors that are important to the brewery, and there's a pretty neat story about where those flavors came from. You guys were the first to identify like dank as a target profile flavor.
Well, we knew about dank.
Yeah.
we were there for dank before dank was dank. You know?
Right. Right.
We were believers. Yeah, well, the way our beers were formulated was really very different. But I can't even say I invented that or we didn't discover it. Truth of the matter is it came from Grant Johnston, who was the head brewer at Marin Brewing Company at the time. And he's back now brewing in Chicago, actually, where I've seen there a bunch of times. And, he had this crazy IPA that he made for an anniversary beer at Marin Brewing that was all the hops went in late. He barely added any at the beginning, and he kind of just did it on a hoot, and he hated the way it tasted.
Really?
And so he moved off of it, but I was like, oh, my God, I could see like a whole another way to construct beer recipes in that. And now that's very conventional, where the first couple editions are very
light. So that
very
became the famous Lagunitas IPA in some form?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, honest to gosh, that beer was brewed the way it tastes right now. And the struggle over the years hasn't been to improve it. It's been to try to keep it exactly the way it was
in
its first incarnation.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite beers of all time. And that's my go-to beer is the Lagunitas IPA.
I don't want to create a romantic story for the past, but the truth of the matter is the first day that we tasted that, it was like you could hear angels singing, there were bells ringing. I mean, it's like running your finger around the top of a wine glass. Yeah. All of a sudden, the universe, you could just taste that.
Wow. Tony McGee is with us, the founder and president, I guess. Is that the official title?
Well,
you probably have a more fun title.
I am chairman, CEO, and president, and warlord, and guy who signs checks, and fall guy, and bozo.
And dude who plays like ukulele and banjo whenever he feels like it.
Try to, yeah.
Right. Tony McGee from Lagunitas. Wow, man. I love the fact that I'm looking at Lagunitas.com and whatever page I'm on. It's got the deteriorata.
That's right.
Yeah, I love that, man. The satire of the desiderata thing.
That's
that the guy
Lampoon.
From Canada. Yeah, the National Lampoon.
That's right.
Yes. Therefore, make peace with your God, whatever you conceive him to be, Cosmic Muffin or Harry Thunderer, and it goes on and on. And I've always loved that.
I always hoped that somebody would notice that. I'm not sure anybody actually did. Thank you, brother.
I have, man. And I
feel connected.
Because, yes, it's one of my favorite pieces from the National Lampoon ever.
They say mediocre artists imitate great artists steal. The trick is knowing what to steal.
Exactly.
You can hardly go deeper than the National Lampoon. But there's like a little Gilda Radner bit off that same album. We're talking about California rectal hot tub gonorrhea.
And, and
not only will you feel like you're going to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. And I've used that burning tractor tire thing in all sorts of beer descriptions at beer fests over the years.
We've got to get into this. And that is Lagunitas and all the hilarious titles, the names of the beers and the different things you guys do. Everyone knows about it. Everyone loves it. And me in particular.
It's subversive. Yeah.
I mean, it's it makes sense.
Subversive. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
people use the word irreverent, and they use counterculture. And
those are overused.
No, subversive is much more powerful.
Subversive is good, Joe. There you
That's
go.
Right. Treason is the most powerful political tool there is. It is, because it's the thing you never expect.